Off the Ball, GAA.
What do you actually think you're going to be doing in this game, you know? And I was like, well, something along the lines of standing on the edge of the square, catching balls, turning around and putting them in the back of the net, no?
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Imro award-winning sports program.
Off the Ball. This is News Talk.
91 minutes gone in Iceland. It's Breiðablik 2, Shamrock Rovers 1. There are 4 minutes of additional time, so another 3 minutes for Rovers to score two goals, really, if they want to be playing in the knockout stages. They will be confirmed to exit the competition tonight as soon as the full-time whistle goes, if the scoreline stays like this, because the team in 24th is on 5 points, and Rovers would obviously be on 1 point, one solo point after this result if it stays like this. So we'll keep you up to speed on that and bring you Ben's full-time report before 8 p.m. Now, the All-Ireland Senior Camogie Final on Sunday sees St. Finbarr's of Cork go up against Galway's Athenry. It's a 4:15 throw-in in Croke Park, and Stephanie Punch is the captain and cornerback for Finbarr's, who I'm delighted to say is with us on the line. Evening, Stephanie. Appreciate you taking the call.
Hi, oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
So this is a first ever All-Ireland final for the club. I presume training this week feels bigger, feels more special. Everything just feels that touch more important.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been on an incredible journey the last couple of weeks. I suppose this week there's a huge, huge buzz around the club. As you said, like a first kind of Camogie All-Ireland appearance. So everyone's really just taking in their stride and just, you know, everyone's wishing us luck. And there's a huge buzz. Everyone's really excited for us. So no, we're looking forward to it.
Have you managed to enjoy this year a little bit more, given, I guess, the long drought without a county title was finally ended in 2024? And maybe there was a sense of pressure with that, whereas once that monkey was off the back, 2025 was possibly a bit more enjoyable?
Yeah, I think 2024, and I suppose the couple of years before it, we were kind of knocking on the door. So there was a lot of pressure there kind of for us. So when we finally won in 2024, like, it was almost just a sense of relief, kind of, as you said, like, you know, that we finally kind of bridged that gap. So look, we enjoyed it, and kind of we went straight into Munster a week or two later. So look, you had to enjoy those days, because, you know, bridging a gap like that is incredible, and it was incredible for the club. So we had a good few days celebration. We probably didn't give Munster kind of our all last year. So no, when we met again kind of this year, we definitely, you know, we wanted more for ourselves.
So what are we talking here? How did you curb the celebrations this year? Was it like a full week celebrations cut down to two or three, or what was the situation?
Yeah, we cut it down by a couple of days at least. Right. Now we kind of knew, although we kind of had a few weeks, I suppose, leading to a semi-final, you know, we kind of knew that we needed to get kind of back on the horse kind of quick enough. No, so we enjoyed the couple of days, but no, we definitely cut it down to 1 or 2 days this year.
We'll talk about the season in just a sec, because it's been an absolutely crazy path to the final since the county title. But just give us a bit of the backstory here. So for people who aren't aware, 2006 was your last county title until 2024, which seems like a huge amount of time for a club the size of St. Finbarr's. Was it seen as a bit of an anomaly within Cork Camogie that Finbarr's had gone so long without a Camogie title, or was it just one of those things where maybe there was kind of a bit of a doldrum scenario with regards to the players that were available and other clubs had sprung up? But what was the situation there for the best part of two decades?
Yeah, I suppose 2006 was actually the first title that we won as well. So, you know, we're only on three titles now with the last 2 years. So, like, the team were fantastic in 2006. But I think kind of the years following, it was definitely maybe a team in transition. You know, even when I came on the scene, I've been on the team now for about 10 years. We were still kind of in that transition period for a good number of years. So, you know, although we knew that there were players coming, you know, the likes of Kevin McCarthy and kind of the Nicole Olden and the likes, we knew they were coming, but, you know, we just had to, I suppose, wait for them to kind of mature and for the team to kind of mature itself. We've had a few girls kind of transfer in then as well. And it's really just, you know, in the last couple of years, we've been kind of fighting to get to that final slot and finally got there in 2024 and kind of bridged that gap, as we said.
Okay, so I hadn't realised that 2006 was the first title for St. Finbarr's, because I guess maybe we attach it to the sort of status of the club when it comes to men's football and to hurling as well. But Camogie's caught up and is catching up at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even 2006, you know, we had Gemma O'Connor and Linda O'Connell, and like, they were still with us, you know, when we won last year. So it's incredible that they were still involved. But no, I think in the last couple of years, you know, there's been so much attention kind of given to Camogie. You know, we don't want for anything in the club either. You know, we definitely are seen as kind of equals with regards to the hurling and football. So it's been fantastic, you know, and, you know, that interest and that in us has really helped us to kind of grow the team in the last couple of years.
Gemma's still involved, if I'm not mistaken.
Gemma's a selector on the team now, yeah. So she kind of finished up playing with us last year. She came in, we had a good number of injuries, you know, in the backs last year. So she kind of came in and she kind of helped us out there. And you know, she was fantastic in the county final. But no, she kind of hung up the boots last year and she's involved as a selector now. And look, her experience is invaluable. She definitely pucks every ball with us, as you could have seen in the Munster final, yeah. So she probably wishes she was out there now, but no, she's incredible.
And Gemma O'Connor, as a selector, is she very hands off, or is she getting involved in the end of training games and stuff like that?
Look, she's a bit more hands off, I suppose. You know, it's her eye for the game, you know, is incredible. So, you know, she'll kind of watch and then she'll kind of come in and she'll kind of like give us a few messages. But look, she's done it all. She's been there, you know, her experience is invaluable to the team. So, you know, we're very, very grateful that she's still involved.
So talk to us about this year then, after you won the Cork title again and made it back-to-back titles, your third in history. You have this extraordinary Munster semi-final against Newcastle West where you beat them after extra, extra time. So what was it, four periods of extra time in the end, but it goes to extra time a second time. Talk us through the madness of what happens after full-time there.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, we were probably guilty of thinking that we had won it in full time. And I suppose, you know, what this year's taught me, if anything, you know, is it's not over till it's over. So, you know, we went through two hectic periods of extra time in that game. And when the final whistle blew, it was just, again, a sense of relief. You know, we had it out in the club and, you know, to see everyone that you've grown up playing with, you know, all the club members out there supporting us, we kind of felt a duty to kind of do it for them as well. So coming off the field to, you know, a huge crowd congratulating us was just incredible. It was something I've never experienced before. And that's definitely, I suppose, a turning point for us, that game, you know, that kind of gave us the belief that we could go on and we could, you know, go further than we could before.
So what happened in normal time there? But it sounds like things, you were up by a decent amount and let them back into it?
We were up by two goals and I suppose Newcastle West kind of came back at us and I think they scored 2-1 within kind of the couple of minutes before full time. So yeah, it was, look, I suppose, as I said, like, it's not over till it's over. So you can't think just because you have a lead of 6 points that you have it won, you know. So they came back at us and we were probably lucky to kind of be still there in extra time and we kind of pulled it back and we really, really, you know, went at it in extra time and we kind of came away with it, which was fantastic.
That's a real testament to the team that you are then, because you'd often back the team that have come roaring back into it in a comeback situation, and when it ends in a draw, you back them to win an extra time. So for you to actually prevail after their comeback says a lot about your mentality.
Yeah, and I think the last couple of years, you know, we've put huge focus into kind of the S&C part of our game. You know, Dylan Byrne, our S&C, you know, he has us in peak condition, you know, so we knew that we had the legs to kind of finish out extra time. So sometimes, you know, the mind might go more than the legs, but, you know, we just kept going, kept at it. And look, we just knew our forwards would come good and that's what they did.
You win the Munster final against De La Salle and you get your Munster crown on that day. But then the All-Ireland semi-final against Lochiel, it's extra time again. So talk to us about this one.
Yeah, it's kind of deja vu, I suppose. You know, I didn't think I'd see another 90 minutes in my career. But I suppose it was two fantastic teams just going at it hard. And, you know, it was point for point. And, you know, again, we were probably one up at the end of kind of normal time, and you know, they came back into it and look, we had that experience. We went through the Newcastle game and we kind of regrouped and we just said it again, look, we've been here before, we know what needs to be done. Again, like, we were, I think, two down towards the end of extra time, and you know, sometimes I feel like in camogie it might take that bit longer to actually get a score, but we got two fantastic scores within the last 3 minutes there. And Ciara Golden, who scored our winner, you know, half back, you know, sometimes, you know, you wouldn't expect your half back to actually come up and get that winner, but she did. And, you know, it was incredible composure to actually, you know, put that ball over the bar and send us into a final.
The S&C point, as you've mentioned there, and the great work done by your coach obviously comes to fruition, but I presume the fitness kind of increases from being out there for 90 minutes, and you must feel unbelievably confident about the shape that you're in, having to go to 90 minutes on two separate occasions in this campaign.
Yeah, definitely. I think we were only talking there that we've kind of gone through nearly an extra game at this time with all the extra time that we've actually done. So it does kind of, it brings you along. And, you know, these games we're hoping, you know, will definitely stand to us, like the Newcastle game stood to us in the De La Salle game. And, you know, we're hoping the Lochiel game, you know, everything that we went through there will kind of stand to us in the final as well.
So was the S&C regime at the start of the season absolutely brutal? Did you do something different at the start of 2025?
2024 is actually where it kind of started for us. Right. Dylan came in and I'd say we were out training in the bog and it was brutal. You know, we were kind of used to it when it came along to pre-season this year. But, you know, I think, you know, we do running kind of every session, you know, we're always tipping away at it. So, you know, it's tough going now. And I say we complain more often than not. He's probably sick of listening to us, but it's invaluable. And, you know, it's something that's definitely, you know, why we're here where we are today.
When you say out training in the bog, do you mean that literally or do you mean a waterlogged pitch?
A waterlogged pitch, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking that would be quite the way to go.
No, he's not that cruel.
Yeah. Has there been anything different? Like, I mean, we often hear from the intercounty teams that they get brought on these kind of mad army training camps almost to try and increase the fitness. Have you gone down different paths at all over the past couple of seasons to try and, not even to find an extra level of fitness, but in terms of team bonding and trying to bring you closer together as a group?
I think we would have done, like, we've done the army camps and stuff like that years and years ago. But, you know, I think more for anything for us, it's about just being together. It doesn't matter, I suppose, where we are or where we do that kind of bonding or that those running sessions. So we've not done anything too mad. We've just focused on ourselves. You know, that's kind of what we've done the last couple of years. I think sometimes you can get so caught up in, you know, what everyone else is doing. So we've just kind of kept to ourselves, kept tipping away at it. And, you know, it's brought us on strides.
Do you prepare in a different way now that you're looking at Croke Park? Because like certainly when it comes to shooting into the goals, a lot of shooters just say in any of the Gaelic Games codes that it is just a different animal going to Croker. Other than that, is there anything else that you need to do to prepare for I guess a different stage this weekend?
I suppose we're lucky that we have a lot of girls and our management team with experience in Croke Park. So obviously we have a lot of girls involved with Cork Seniors and the Cork 23s. So, you know, they're quick to give us advice, you know, on it. You know, they're well used to it themselves. I think, you know, even, you know, we were playing in Thurles and it was new to us again. But again, look, it's just another game for us. We're trying not to, I suppose, let the occasion kind of overshadow the actual game. So we've not done anything too different, really. Again, we're just focusing on ourselves. You know, training's not been too different the last couple of weeks. I think, you know, the more you normalise these things, you know, the more that they don't kind of get bigger than they are.
Yeah, for sure. At the same time, I'm sure you're all trying to soak this in and trying to enjoy this week, right? Because it is a special moment playing an All-Ireland final for your club in Croke Park. I think that just adds a special nature to it. The inter-county finals in Croke Park are undoubtedly special, but a club final in Croke Park is an unbelievably special occasion. So how do you soak that in while also trying to stick to the process of a week like this?
Yeah, I suppose it's been a fantastic few weeks for the club. And, you know, we just, I suppose, launched our 150-year book. So it's been, you know, we've been kind of going through the nostalgia and stuff like that. So that's all kind of like led into kind of the build up to the game. You know, we've had kind of past players kind of, you know, giving us advice and things like that. I suppose sometimes you can kind of be too focused on the game as well and not be let yourself enjoy this. But as you said, like, it's, you know, it's could be a once in a lifetime kind of thing. You know, it's very hard to get out of Cork, you know, the Cork Camogie Championship, never mind coming out of Munster as well with all those fantastic teams. So we're definitely letting ourselves enjoy the build up. And, you know, these kind of couple of days now, we'll just wind down and look forward to Sunday.
And how much have you tapped into the season that St. Finbarr's have had? Obviously brilliant on the hurling and football side of things, and particularly on like that game last week from the footballers was extraordinary. It ultimately ends in defeat. So I'm not sure how much you tap into the highs and also into the lows of the wider St. Finbarr's universe this season.
Yeah, I suppose it's really started, I think, since 2018 when the kind of footballers bridged that huge gap as well and winning the kind of Cork Championship and then the hurlers in 2022. And like, we took huge inspiration from all of their wins. I suppose when you see everyone kind of making history in the club, you want to make your own history and be part of it as well. So it definitely spurred us on. And I suppose it's been a successful year for the club as well. You know, it's been great kind of going along with the footballers and, you know, their success as well. Obviously, it was a huge disappointment last week, you know, but we're nothing but proud of them. Look, they've all been so great to us and we're giving us, you know, good luck messages. So, you know, there was huge buzz around the club and there still is.
Yeah, I mean, we've been mentioning this interview quite a bit this week, but Jimmy Barry Murphy talking to Tommy Rooney in the aftermath of the Dingle game last week. Unbelievably magnanimous, first of all. I think any ordinary human being would have been understandably angry with what happened last Sunday in Thurles. But he was magnanimous and he also found a presence of mind to say, actually, the St. Finbarr season's not over yet. The Camogie team are out next week in Croke Park. That's a incredible presence of mind from JBM.
Absolutely. You know, I was up at the game myself and, you know, hugely disappointed. But, you know, that's just who the man he is. You know, he's incredibly gracious. And, you know, to give us that shout out in the end, you know, gave us a huge boost as well. You know, we know him well and, you know, he knows all the girls as well. So, you know, they're correct. You know, the season's not over. And look, we hope to just, I suppose, bring a bit of buzz back to the club after the last couple of weeks.
So what did the next 72 hours look like then, Stephanie? Do you have another training session before Sunday? And when do you travel up to Dublin?
Yeah, so our last training session is tomorrow night, so we'll probably just do something light and kind of get food afterwards in the bar. We're actually travelling up to Dublin Sunday morning, so right. We'll head up on the train. I think, you know, you think about going up the night before, but then you have to fill your whole kind of morning the next day. So I think, you know, again, we're just kind of going to stick to our own routine, you know, sleep in your own bed kind of Saturday night and have breakfast the Sunday morning and then head up.
Yeah, exactly. 4:15 game as well, so nice and late in the day. Listen, Stephanie, very best of luck on Sunday. Hopefully it's an enjoyable experience as well as everything else, and appreciate you coming on the show this evening.
Off the Ball Daily.